Welcome to Beauty as a Birthright, a podcast where we decode the evolving concept of beauty from a multidimensional lens. In this space, we embark on a journey with engaging guests from all walks of life to figure out if beauty is a birthright, then what's our legacy? So let's get started. Welcome back, everyone. Today we have a special episode because this weekend we're going to enter a new year according to the lunisolar calendar. This weekend begins our actual 2023. So we wanted to do this special episode to talk about the tiger year for both of us and what we want to expect in 2023 with the year of the rabbit. So hi, Paige.
Hi, Tamsin. It's so nice to be back, you know, doing these live podcast recordings.
I know, because we have a lot of episodes that we recorded in the past, right? That we've been releasing. So you and I, we've met occasionally, but not really. You know, we've both been super busy. So I miss recording. I miss seeing you and like chatting with you.
I know, same. This is a huge year for the both of us.
Yeah.
We sit on opposite ends of the zodiac chart, with Tamsin being a monkey, myself as a tiger, and this water tiger year has been, you know, very big, eventful, trying for the both of us as a result.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so what do you want to say?
Well, no, I was going to go right in and be like, this was your clash year.
This was your clash year too.
I know. So can you share with the audience as a monkey in this clash tiger year for you, some of the biggest challenges you faced?
Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, technically it wasn't your clash year because let me explain what the clash year is for people who don't understand. So every year it's ruled by a specific animal. So 2022 was ruled by the tiger, 2023 is ruled by the rabbit. And so they have like this animal, the other animal that they clash with every year. So the tiger is known as the Grand Duke and the clash animal is the monkey. And when you look at the Chinese zodiac wheel, they're actually sitting across from each other. And what I love about Chinese medicine is nothing is arbitrary. So there's a reason why they're sitting across from each other. They're literally looking at each other eye to eye. Right? There's a really cute story of why tiger and monkeys are the enemy. But essentially what's happening is that this is your, what you want to call it, like your shadow, your yin side. Like they represent these traits that are within you that you need to cultivate. And so you are supposed to learn a lot from them. So for me, for my clash year, I married you, had a baby, this podcast. We entered a long-term relationship, which I was hesitant about, you know, when you first approached me about the, I was like, I don't know if this is a good idea for us to do this in the tiger year, because I like having you as a friend. And what happens with monkeys and tigers, it's like, the monkey does something to piss off the tiger. You know, we like we like to be cheeky and mischievous and cause a little trouble because it's so fun. And then we just take it a little too far, or, you know, it's not interpreted the right way. And then that's how we piss off the tiger. So my, the challenges I faced this year were really learning to embrace, inhibit, utilize, recognize the traits of the tiger that is within me. And so tigers are lone creatures. They like to do things alone. They're very independent. You know, they travel alone. Monkeys are very tribal. They live in groups. And so for me this year was learning how to, I don't even know what the word, I don't even think independent is the right word. I can't think of another word, but like really trust in myself and know that I have the abilities to do things and get things done without having to rely on other people or piggyback off of other people. It's really this like self-esteem, self-confidence. I don't know. It's like this, you know, so.
It's like an agency.
Yeah, much stronger. It's like, I think like, yeah, maybe some insecurities that I had to deal with as a monkey. It's like, I mean, for example, like work-wise, it's like, I didn't collaborate with a lot of people and I kind of stood in the back and I watched and I grew. personally, internally. And I said no to a lot of projects, like big projects that could have like elevated me, but I just felt like it wasn't the right time or it wasn't with the right people. And some of these people were massive big people or big brands or companies that would have really, I think, put myself out there a lot in a bigger light. And I said no because they didn't align with what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it just didn't feel right. And that was hard because it's like, if somebody with a big following comes to me and be like, hey, I want to do this thing with you, and I'll introduce you to my millions of followers, that sounds great. And to say no to that, because I'm like, I don't know if you align with what I envision my life to be like, is really hard. And then to say like, I trust in myself that I'll get there in my own way. And I'll figure out a way to get myself out there. It's like scary, but that was what I did all year.
That's a huge deal, Tamsin.
Massive.
Yeah, that really is. It's really recognizing your own power and worth and what you offer and not compromising any of those things. Mm-hmm. And trusting that, like you said, you're going to be able to make those opportunities for yourself at the right time.
Yeah. And tigers all about instincts. Like they don't even know why they're doing things. It's just like instinct and I can't explain it. And I'm just going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
What were your challenges though? Because you had to learn how to be a monkey.
Oh my God. This was really, the really interesting thing about that was opening the clinic, right? And for the first time, I'm bringing on other providers into the space and having to work with and collaborate with other practitioners and just really navigate that. And so the funny thing is two of the four providers that I brought on are monkeys.
Oh, did you know that before?
No, and they also have the strongest personalities in the clinic. And so I like really, and it was trying for me to like, okay, whew, gotta get through this and then jump on and talk to Tams and my other monkey. And then it was just like, I was just like, they're everywhere. Yes. It was like, a monkey encampment. But so that was super hard for me because up until then I was always in a solo practice, you know, that true tiger, just like independent, had my own rules. So that was huge. That was really hard for me, but I really feel like this has been the hardest year of my adult life and it's been tumultuous and exhausting. So yeah, so I'm really looking forward to the rabbit year.
Yeah. Were there any like monkey qualities that you've taken on or like that you've learned?
Yeah. So, I mean, like being a team player, yes. And then, and then the other thing, trying to be more lighthearted and with all of that and not take things too seriously, too personally, and just see like, yeah, this doesn't have to be a big thing. This can be lighter. This can be funner. This can roll off the shoulders. Cause I think a lot of the monkey energy that was being thrown at me, I felt like, oh my God, they can so casually say those things. And then I learned like, yeah, why not? Like that, I think that was like a big thing for me. And then I too was like, oh, I guess I can also casually say things. And you know what? It really helped me this year strengthen my communication skills and just make them more diverse and like expand them.
Mm-hmm.
That was really big and a big growing lesson for me.
Yeah, I think I learned the same. Like I purposely surrounded myself with tigers. and the collaborations that I did were with tiger people, but I was trying to be on my best behavior. It's like monkey, stop fooling around, like be on your best behavior with all these tigers. I can literally eat you right now.
Yeah.
And so I would be on my best behavior. And then what I did was also just learn from all of you, because all of these collaborations and stuff were with my friends, you know? And so I know there were times that I've asked you, like, what would you do in this situation? You know, like my problem. And you would say this, and it would blow my mind, because I would be like, oh, I would never think to do it this way. And I just leaned in. I was like, all right, I don't know. Like, this is not how I would do it, but I'm going to do it, but do it kind of in a monkey way.
Right.
And it always worked out. And then it fortitude this lesson of like, trust. You're good enough. You're worthy enough. You're valuable mm-hmm. enough. Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, I think you're answering this next question that I have already, but some of the greatest blessings that have come out of this year for you and biggest lessons. I mean, you've touched on them with, you know, being more confident in your decision-making and really like discerning who you want to work with. But what are some other things that you felt like, whoa, this was a big growth moment, or whether or not it's from the tiger, but just this year?
I kept thinking back, like the last tiger year, 12 years ago, because it's been a real closure of that chapter, which I didn't think was going to happen. And it may be because this is the year that I really paid attention to like everything, because I knew it was my class year. I've been living more in a Taoist way. And so I feel more aligned with this macrocosmic chi, and I'm much more intentional with how I do things. And it's not this like side spiritual practice, like it's so fully integrated in everything I do and in my daily life. And so 12 years ago, I was in Laos, and I remember I was at the balcony of this hotel. That sounds really fancy, but it wasn't. and I saw the lion dance parade going through in town. And I was like, oh, it's Lunar New Year today. And I love seeing the lion dances. And it was this old man with a whistle. He was like, he was like in the head of the marching parade. And I thought that was so cute. And I love parades too. And I was there because I had spent weeks living with this Laotian family down in this place called the 4,000 Islands. And that was such a special time living with this family. And I wanted to go to this other place in Laos, but I needed a motorbike because there was no buses, and a lot of foreigners go there. A lot of people travel on motorbikes, but I didn't know how. I've never even learned how to drive. I don't have a driver's license. I'm a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. And then I met this kid, and he said, I can rent a motorbike. I can take you there. And he's like, I'll go there. And it was just this random, tiny, super random village that nobody really knew about, but I wanted to get there. And I was like, all right, cool. And so we hopped, we traveled together. And within like a few hours, I could not stand this kid. We were like bickering, arguing. I could not, wow. Everything about him annoyed the shit out of me. And it was at one point we were having dinner and we were bickering, not even arguing. And somebody had asked us how long we've been together. That, you know, that type of relationship. Yeah,
right.
And I'm like, this motherfucker, I just met him. I need him to take me to this village. And in that moment, when I was watching the Lunar New Year parade and this cute old man with the whistle and having so much fun, I just thought to myself, I said, I cannot rely on somebody else to take me to this other place. And so he took me there. I'm like, fuck off, bye, thank you, don't ever contact me again. And then I made this mission to learn how to drive a motorbike. And then I ended up getting into this small other town in Laos. And long story short, I learned in 4 hours, then test drove for like a day, and then the next day I took like a 5-hour motorbike trip to another.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Around the mountains, which is like up and down and up and down. And I had no idea, like I didn't know when you're driving, you know, those signs that you see that are supposed to prepare you for what's coming up.
Right.
And I think that is been the lesson in the last 12 years. It's like coming to closure in this year. And I think me being older, and having these fears of getting older and losing my capabilities, like, you know, these natural abilities that we lose as we get older, like memory, like physical function, like having these fears, what's going to happen to me when I get old and I can't walk and I can't go to the grocery store, whatever. So I think that's going to be the next big lesson that I learned. But this year, I'm like, I'm still young enough to do things, and I'm still young enough, and I should stop, quit relying on other people to take me to this village, because they're annoying me. I can just do it myself, just learn myself.
Wow. But that, and that's really bringing in more tiger energy.
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was about to pounce him and scratch him. He was so annoying. Oh my God. What is your big blessing or lesson?
Oh, wow. I would say, God, I feel like there's been a lot to come out of this year for me. But I think for me, a lot of this is like big picture. I'm really learning how to look at things big picture. And I mean really big picture, like multiple lifetimes big picture, where the lessons that I'm learning, the hardships that I'm enduring now, I'm not looking at it in terms of, well, this, like, we have this life to live. And, you know, people can go either way, where they can be like, this life is so fleeting, and really like do the things that you value. The time here is so limited. And then other people will be like, we still have a lot of years to get through. We still have a lot of life to live. You still have so many options. It's like all of that talk has left me. It's more like, what am I doing to set myself up for my next life?
Oh, me too. Yeah. No, I've been doing a lot of that.
Yeah. I'm like, and I'm really making those decisions. I'm like, okay, what is my path on this life that's going to, whatever words you want to use, purify my soul or ascend my spirit or help me learn the lesson? Which ones do I have to get through to really ensure that I'm set up good for next lifetime? And I am like not attracting the people and energy that I don't want in my next lifetime. And I am calling in the people and energy that I want in my next one. And so that's like, I'm like really thinking big picture. That's been the takeaway of this year. And it's really helped me put things into perspective and not feel so bummed about this difficult tiger year, because I'm like, it's okay. This is part of, you know, what I am paying in order to ensure that next life is gonna be XYZ and not ABC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
Yeah. Oh my God, I've been doing the same. More, I love how you're like purification of the soul. I'm like, what do I need to do this life so in the next life, all I do is sit in a hammock on an island and drink coconut juice. that's all I want for my next life. I don't want to be smart. I don't want to be working. I don't want to be using my wisdom. I just want an easy beach life.
You know, I'm laughing because that could really be my life. I've just chosen for some weird, crazy reason not to lean into that right now, at least. I have all the resources to have that be my life.
Well, because you were an empress in your past life and you had that life. So this year, you got to work this life, Paige. You can't be living the empress life all the time.
Oh my God, that's true. There's probably some mathematics to this.
Yes.
Like sacred geometry.
Seriously. I know my past life because I've done past life stuff. And I've always been like the person that's been taken care of through other people that are higher up than me.
Right.
And I know in this life, that's like my theme. And I've done that in like relationships and work and stuff. It's just like, take care of me. And this is a life where I'm supposed to take care of myself. But,
right. Oh,
it's so hard. I don't like this.
So but I have a question. Oh yeah. Go on.
No, go ahead.
Well, I have a question for you. As a Taoist face reader. So, you know, of course, as time goes on, we all accumulate lines and marks on our faces, and they help tell a story or keep a type of a score of what we've been through. And of course, you can say this a lot more eloquently than me, but I want to know of what has shown up in your face this year and what it's saying to you or what it's expressing to others, if you've noticed this with yourself.
I've noticed a few changes. That's a really good question. Sorry, for you two people, my light keeps coming off. I don't know why. So I'll share like maybe a good and a bad, whatever. I put these in quotes. One, I've noticed that my dimple has come back, that's unusual for Asian faces. Asians don't typically have dimples. And so the dimples is related to that fire element. And I think in the last few years, I have really worked hard on maybe even the last 12 years, to be honest, like cultivating this fire within me and being very intentional on cultivating fire. And so I lost it at last few years ago, and then it's coming back. And even my family, I've noticed, like, oh, your dimple's back. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's back. And it comes and it goes. But that I'm really happy about, because fire is so important. Like, I have a lot of people that, when we talk about which elements annoy them the most, and I get a lot of people that says fire people. Like, fire people annoy me. You need to calm down, stop, like, jumping all over the place. But what I love about fire, because I have some clients that are older fire, and so I get to see what fire looks like when they're older. And when they're older, it's like, oh, so nice, because it's this glowing ember, this, like, warmth, this compassion. Yes, when they're younger, they're, like, jumping off the walls and, like, you know? But when they get older and they're able to contain it, it just glows. And they still have this like curiosity and playfulness and like wonder about life. And they're still very romantic in the way they think about life and see life. And I think as you get older, as your young declines, we all need to find some way of cultivating that fire within so that we don't lose it, because it's so hard to lose it, because in all of our young chi is declining as we get older. Right. And that's what, and when you don't have that, like, you start to see life as, you see it in a bitter way, in a sad way, or you start saying, like, I'm too old to do this, I'm too tired, I'm too old, I'm too tired, and I don't want to, I don't want to get that, but so that fire, that dimple, I really love. One thing that I wasn't crazy about, but it clued me in to do some self-reflection and change the way that I think or the way I behave, was my jawline was getting very soft and like not as refined, to the point where, yes, I am a face reader, but I'm also very superficial. So at first I was like, oh no, no one's this. You know, my chin was getting very weak. My jaw was getting very weak. And so that, when that happens, it's like your jawline is like the roots of your life. And so it's like the thing that when you have a strong jawline, it's like your older self coming to rise and meeting yourself in this moment. And that, to me, when it started getting weak and like not strong, not refined, I was like, oh, I got to do some stuff. I got to like meet my old self, bring my old self here, you know? And fix this, because yes, I don't want this, but also, oh, it doesn't look pretty. So that's something I've been working on. It comes and it goes. And so that's something I pay attention to.
So what does that practice look like of bringing your old self to meet your new and current self and having that fusion?
Sometimes I do like a meditation practice where I'm literally like envisioning what my life is like when I'm old. And it's something very simple. Like, it's literally like, it's always breakfast time for me. It's like, what does breakfast time feel like? Like, how do I get out of bed? How do I envision my house. I envision the food I eat. I envision the clothes I'm wearing. And it gets very, very more and more specific. Mm-hmm. You know, I envision the tree outside the window. I can see it. And I think we do a lot of like inner child work, but I don't think we do a lot of meet your older self work.
Yes. Oh my God, Tamsin, you like blow my mind all the time. And I'm the other thing that I've been thinking in my head is I'm like, I think I really was married to Tamsin in the previous.
Oh my God, I hope. Do you think we had a good marriage? I probably pissed you off. You probably killed me. It's okay. Gosh. I get it.
Okay, but sorry, no, that's true. That's really, but that's such a big note on society and how we don't value elders and the old, and how this thing that you and I have talked about many times about seeing that they're dispensable, they don't have much use, they don't contribute, like that's the perception of them. And so why would people want to do that? And they're always doing, oh, your inner child, embrace. Yeah. healing, but I love this idea. It's really profound.
I know, thank you. I know, I'm all about this. I share this with my clients. Sometimes we do like a little mini meditation together in the sessions, because it's like, inner child is so much trauma work, right? But this older self is like, you know, and I do believe in trauma work, but sometimes you need to envision what life is going to be like. What, like you said in the beginning, like, what is the purpose of doing all this work now, right? It's this reminder, like, oh, it's for that. And that's what I want. And when you can see it, and when you can meet her and like ask her questions, like, that's where that wisdom, I think, really comes.
Oh, wow. I'm like, this is probably a practice I'm going to start doing ASAP.
Yeah. So tell me, I'm curious to know, have you been reflecting on the last 12 years? Like, where were you 12 years ago in that last tiger year?
Yeah. So 12 years ago, I was living in China and I was
We were both in Asia.
Right.
Oh my God. We were so married. Cool. We got to do a past life thing. We got to invite somebody to this past life and see how we're connected.
I know. Cause now that we've met each other, we found each other again in this lifetime. We like can't get away from each other. It's so funny. I'm like, oh, getting my daily text or email from Tamsin. Anywho. I was living in China and I was deciding to go to school for TCM. This is exactly 12 years ago, 2010. So I had graduated from college in 2009. I moved back to China to study TCM, and I was trying to decide if I wanted to go to school for Chinese medicine in China or back in the States. And then I ultimately decided back in the States because of the licensing and how I ultimately wanted to live there. And so that was that year for me. And then the fall 2010, I started at ACTCM in San Francisco. Wow. And my life completely obviously changed. Like, I really started this journey of being fully committed. And I moved, you know, it's just like I moved from China back to San Francisco. Like, it was huge. And I was in a serious relationship.
When did you move back to San Francisco?
In 2010. August.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. April, I came back to the U.S. 2010. Mm. And it was that year I decided to apply to acupuncture school.
Wow.
I had to do my prereqs, but then in 2011, I went to school.
Oh, wow. So, yeah.
We were so married. Come on.
Yeah, so those were and then it's just been a wild ride. You know, like going to school, getting pregnant, getting married, moving to Hawaii, moving back to San Francisco, moving back to Hawaii, practices. I mean, the whole bit. So that was the last tiger cycle for me.
It's such a big chapter. Years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
And so now we're entering 2023, a rabbit year, yin water. Mm-hmm. And so what? Like, do you have any intentions, or what are you expecting, or what do you want to ask the rabbit to bring you?
So I'm really trying to cultivate the elements of the rabbit for this year that I really feel drawn to. And mostly those would be, for me, getting everything I want. No. No, to be more specific, it's this like this feminine, romantic, soft, nurturing, tender likeness. And I think, you know, a month ago, part of the Tiger Year, some big things came up within my marriage and things were flipped on its head, burnt to the ground. And then looking at that macro cosmic picture of, okay, maybe this is what maybe this is part of the debts that I'm paying from a previous life to advance in the next life. Mm-hmm. I'm currently deciding to continue on with where this is supposed to lead, this like rebuild or reform of the marriage. And in doing that, I'm taking advantage of the fact that it all came down. And so now I'm going to ask for every single thing I want. And I think that the rabbit year is going to be a perfect energy to receive those things. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm asking for is very rabbit qualities.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like that romance, that tenderness, mm-hmm. that kindness.
Yeah. And like feeling butterflies again. I would like love to have that. And just being like so cared for. And yeah, so that's really what I'm trying to bring into this rabbit year, like a very love-centered. I'm telling all my single patients, and this is how I feel about you because we talked about this, my like single patients. I'm just like, you're going to get everything you want in this rabbit year with love. And they're like, oh my God, really? I'm like, yes, like get your dog charm, do this, do that, put this in this like facing quadrant. And yeah, so...
And my thing is like, you're going to get things you want. So you better be careful of what you ask.
Yes.
And you better know, because sometimes we think we want something right. And then we get it, or we weren't very clear. It was super broad, you know, mm-hmm. and then you get it. You're like, oh shit. No, this is not what I wanted.
Exactly. All. It's like an SNL genie in the bottle kind of a script. Yeah. Where they're like, okay. okay, but what about you? Yes.
As you're talking about this relationship, marriage and stuff, because rabbit year is a lot about relationships too. Mm-hmm. The one thing that kept coming into my mind when you were talking about this, that I think it's a quote from Esther Perel, who is I love. Mm-hmm. And she says that we all have multiple relationships. When we're in a partnership, a monogamous partnership, we actually have mm-hmm. multiple relationships with this one person. It's never one relationship. Right. And that really shifted the way I thought about relationships, especially monogamy. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're going to have like 5-10 different types of relationship with this one person. And then mm-hmm. that's what ultimately decides, like, do I want to do this with you in this new relationship? You know, and it's like, when people say yes to that, it's like, that's something deeper that I, yes. you know.
Yeah. Cause the perception of my husband and what our marriage was died mm-hmm. with what had happened a month ago. So that, and it actually exactly a month ago. And so this is the time that rebirth, you know, currently I'm deciding to still be around to witness what that will look like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's also beginnings. It feels like beginning stages. Like you said, you want to feel the butterflies. Yeah. You want to date again. You want to exactly. like, you know,
I want it all. So yeah.
When tigers say they want it all, I guess I'm like, okay. Like the monkey comes back.
Oh my God, you're so funny. Oh gosh. Tell me my monkey Tamsin. What are you intending and hoping for yourself in the rabbit year?
I love what you said. So for me, because I just did the Lunar New Year ceremony on Sunday, right? For the people who purchased my calendar and then people who bought tickets, I'm actually going to record it and put it up because people have been asking for it. So I'm going to do that. So I kind of went over very broad of all the animals, depending on their auspicious stars. And so for monkey, for me, This is the year of spiritual awakening, of consciousness, like, and becoming much more spiritual. That means I have to find a spiritual teacher this year and really learn and dig deeper. And then the other thing I need to do is figure out a way to turn my spiritual awakening into a skill that I can use for the rest of my life, whether it's through work, whether it's through my own life, whether it's to help other people. And that's exactly what I want to do. You know, I want to like, I want to grow my elemental archetypes, but I've been very slow and intentional for a reason. In other aspects of my life, my other research education, I blew up very quickly and very fast. And that was great. It was exciting. It's what I needed. But I learned a lot. when you have this like meteoric rise to success, you need to be prepared for it, right? Because it comes with, it can be very lonely. You get a lot of haters, you get a lot of betrayals, you get a lot of people backstabbing you. You get, these are all the things that every leader goes through, right? That we as leaders don't talk about,
right?
And you don't see unless you actually go through this. And with this, what I do now is like so sacred to me. And I feel like this is the thing that's going to be my like retirement, like as I get older. So I'm okay growing this like slowly and intentionally. And that's not rabbit necessarily, but rabbit also represents like sensuality. Rabbit is like the peach, one of the peach blossom luck animals. That's why Paige, you're saying like love everything, you know? And so for me, I think I want my intention for the rabbit. I think more like elegance in my life. And I don't know what that really means, but like more refinement, more elegance. The weird thing is the last few months, last 6 months, I've been meeting a lot of rabbits. And I always find them a little, it's hard for me to understand them. Like they all look a certain way too. And that's why people are so attracted to rabbit people, but they look very sweet and kind. And so you mistake that for being kind of a pushover, but they're actually very intelligent.
Yeah.
Right. Super smart. Right. And so that dichotomy is like, whoa, you're so sweet and kind and gentle, but they're very smart and they can get things done in life. And so I think that requires some sort of elegance. And I think elegance is something that like I see in certain people, the older people maybe. And elegance, I think, is one of those things that can be very hardened. Like metal is elegant, but it can be a very hard elegance. And I don't like that. So something along those lines, I have no idea what that means, but that's what keeps coming up. And abundance. The last few years for Monkey has been shit. I am ready to freaking receive the year. Like I'm going to get everything I want. And I'm just like, just give it to me. give me. I deserve it. I freaking deserve it.
Oh my God, a sticky handed monkey.
Really, like for monkeys, we've had such a hard few years. So this year it's going to be such a turning point. And I feel like I've done all the work that I did this year. I'm really proud of myself for doing that. And so you know, you're like, I what did you say? Like you want to ask for things? Is that what you said? Or are you going to take?
I can't remember.
For me, how I envision my rabbit ears, like my monkey with my shopping cart being like, I want this I want this pretty thing, I want this man, I want this relationship, I want this job, and then just that's how I envision.
Wow, this seems like it's gonna be a really great year for us, and then you know, abroad, like all around, for most people.
Yeah,
I feel like with this peach blossom luck, and it's been a couple full cycles before we've had this type of a really nice year.
Is there one advice or guide or tip or something you can give someone who might be going through a class year? Let's do that. Like the rabbit and the rooster. Rabbit is the Grand Duke. Mm-hmm. The rooster is the clash. Is there one advice that you want to give to them?
Oh my God, you might have to go first. That's such a good, do you have?
My thing is literally like learn from the other person. Like surround yourself. Rabbit, you have to surround yourself with rooster people and see how they work, how they look at life, how they solve problems, how they view things. And learn from them. It's going to drive you crazy because they're so different, right?
Right.
And rooster the same. It's going to drive you crazy learning from the rabbit, but it's like, you just have to remember all these traits are within you somewhere. So it's not like you're learning a completely different thing that you have no idea what it's about. It's all within you. You just have to refine it and learn it and then keep moving forward. You're going to want to like lay low and not do anything because everything is going to be going wrong. Rabbit is okay. Rabbit, you have a good year. It's just intense, a lot of activity. Rooster, it's a little difficult and you're going to want to stop, but just move slower, but keep moving. You don't want to be stagnant.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really great advice. I think two roosters for the rooster. I think the rabbit, like we were saying, how they're really smart. They have this wit. They're going to know intuitively how to move through this harder year for them or more challenging, whatever words you want to use. But I think the rooster can be more stubborn and think that they know better. They just have such a big personality a lot of the times. So align with what you would say, I would just say maybe if they can observe more and it's just so interesting. Like my dad's a rooster, one of my good friend's daughter's a rooster. Like I'm trying to think like what I would tell them to do, but it's kind of this,
Well, you said about how you've been looking at not just this life but your future life, this parallel life. I think that's a really good tip.
Well, Tamsin, this is so fun. I miss talking to you live and not just through like emails and texts and voice messages. This is super fun, and we're gonna have this episode out tomorrow. We're gonna have it out right away.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So people can listen to it, prepare, you know, do what you need to do. This weekend is the beginning of the new year, but we have like a week of celebrations. So you can do things till February 2nd. So for a lot of us, it's going to be lucky because the rabbit's bringing this extra peach blossom luck. So really, like, this is the year to make changes.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. Bye.
Well, that's it for today. If you like this episode, please give us a 5-star rating, subscribe, and share it with your friends. You can follow us on Instagram at @beautyasabirthright and say hello. If you're interested in learning more about Taoist face reading, head over to elementalarchetypes.com and follow Dr. Tamsin on Instagram at @elementalarchetypes. If you like to explore beauty through your own hands, you can visit youngface.com. You may also explore Paige's Instagram at yang.face for tutorials, Chinese medicine theory, and candid thoughts on cultural appreciation.